Amen. Well, it's good to be here. Appreciate the opportunity to be at the Victory Free Will Baptist Church. And, you know, it just seemed like everything I've watched here this morning goes right with the message that the Lord put on my heart up here and for this service. And that word victory, just the word victory itself, is enough to cause the Christian to rejoice.
Amen.
That word victory.
Amen.
You've got it on the church sign out there.
Right.
And we heard it in the songs this morning. We heard it in the music. And I thought as I watched all these young people as they sang and the music that was presented, and what a blessing it is to watch youth and the movement of it as it works in the church assembly.
Amen.
And then I look at your pastor and I remember when he was in the youth process.
Yeah.
And how that it's brought him to where he is to the position of being a leader, a pastor, and a minister of the gospel, and a musician. I remember when I first started playing music in the church, and how this all develops. And one word keeps coming to my mind, not just the fact that it's victory, but it comes to me like this: train up a child.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
That's what you're doing here, and it works. It works.
I'm
thankful we have a vision for the youth. The Scripture teaches us, remember the Creator in the days of thy youth. And that's what's happening here. And in most churches that are having much significance at all in their effort for the Lord have to have young movement in the assembly. If it's just people as old as I am and older, you're heading for a real problem. I've been in churches where it's a lot of just wide-headed people, and I'm not condemning that. But boy, you need some of these young, vibrant young people coming up that you can train. They have to be trained. If you train them, the Bible says they won't depart from it. So we appreciate that. And that ain't got nothing to do with the message, I guess. I mean, it's going to produce victory because of the training and because of the concern. But I'm actually in the Galatian letter that Paul wrote. And I want you to turn there with me right quick, if you would. I want to share a couple of verses out of chapter 2 that I believe the Lord laid on my heart just a few nights ago when I was looking and thinking about the opportunity of trying to be here for this service. And on that service, while you're turning to Galatians 2, I would say this. I just got on my phone a few months back, and I just sent a text out to the pastor. Hey, look, I'm available now. If you should need me on one of these dates that I've got open, I'd be more than happy to come and minister to your church. And within a couple, two or three days, I was booked all the way to June. So I thought, my gosh, I might have been off more than I could chew because I've got three revivals coming up. And and it's just wonderful. I'm having a good time. I pastored over 44 years total. And I enjoyed it. I mean, it never was a job to me. It was always ministry, and I loved it. But I felt like I'd done the ministry of pastorship that I needed to do. And now I'm just going around trying to encourage preachers and pastors in their effort, trying to help them and try to encourage the church and bless the church. And I've said this from the time I've started until the present. If I can't be a blessing to them, Lord, I don't even want to bother them. I bothered people enough when I pastored because I knew everybody in the building. That's the difference in preaching now and preaching then. I can preach to you and I don't know what you're doing.
Amen.
I don't know where you've been. I don't know what your thoughts are. I don't know where you're headed in your own effort. But I know where we're all headed if we're following Him.
Amen.
And that's what I want to preach about today. If you would, let's look at Galatians chapter 2. And I'll share this with you, these few verses that I felt like God put on my heart for this hour. And I think it'll all point to what we're looking for. In Galatians chapter 2, let's look at verse number 20. Verse number 20. I'm crucified with Christ.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, I live.
Amen.
I think about that. I'm crucified with Christ.
Right.
Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Look at the next verse. I do not frustrate the grace of God. I do not frustrate the grace of God. And the reason being, He's finally decided how to live. I remember as a young boy growing up, many times when we would want to do something, you know, you get that anxious desire to go do whatever it is. And you'd find yourself making a statement, something like this. And this is going to be the title of the message. Man, I'm just dying to get to do that. I mean, I want to do this, but I'm just dying to do it. You ever hear people make an expression? I mean, you and I have done that up here. But in eastern Kentucky, a common thing amongst the people in the community, if they got excited about something's going on, man, they're just dying to get there. They're just dying to get into that. But let me tell you something. I'm dying to live. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, we love you and we thank you for the opportunity to be here. And I ask that your blessing would be upon us and use us for a few moments. Bless this church and Brother Mike as he directs and guides them under the guidance of the over-shepherd or the great shepherd. And I pray you'll make him that under-shepherd that will lead your people the way they need to go. Help us to encourage them while we're here. And if there should be one here that's not one of the sheep, I pray, Father, today they'll enter the sheepfold and find safety in Christ's name. Amen. I want you to think about this passage of Scripture. I'm dying to live. I'm dying to live. I'm dying to live. And I thought, boy, what a statement in itself. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live.
That's right.
I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Now, you could just spend a lot of time just in that statement because, you see, you have identified yourself with Christ and His crucifixion if you've ever come to Calvary and truly been saved by the grace of God. I thought, for example, there's three points I wanted to bring on this, and they're really simple, but it'll really get us a good message if we look at it. First of all, to think about being crucified with Christ, but yet I'm still living, and it's not me really that's doing the living, but it's Christ now lives in me. And the life that I live now in this fleshly body, I live by faith in the one that loved me and gave himself for me. That name is Jesus Christ. And I thought, now first of all, to really appreciate what's being written here to a church group of believers that have been truly saved, you got to understand these are Gentile people. This is the Gentile age that he's writing to. I mean, these are the ones that God directed the Apostle Paul to. So first of all, you need to start with the author of it. You think about Paul. You think about where he came from. You got to look at his pedigree. You got to look at his personality and who he was. Paul was one that hated the church. I mean, he brought havoc against it. He was an absolute discourager to Christianity. He tried to stop it in every act that it tried to move. In fact, in chapter 9 of Acts, you'll find Paul on Damascus Road with 40 of letters in his hand, going to arrest and have people put in prison and even put to death for their testimony in Christ. All the while, he was thinking, I'm doing God a service.
Right.
He was so wrapped up in his religion that he thought, I'm doing God a service. I thought about that word religion. In fact, there's a song probably in that hymnal that said, I've got that old-time religion. You better be careful when you read and see that. That old-time religion is not about salvation. Old-time religion is a way that is directing your path in this fleshly body that we think we can please God with our effort. The truth of the matter is, religion will take you to hell.
That's right.
But salvation, hallelujah, will deliver you from religion until a new day, under new guidance, with a new vision, going to a new heaven, hallelujah.
Amen.
So I don't want the old-time religion. I want salvation. Paul got salvation, bless the Lord.
Amen.
If you read after his life in chapter 9 of Acts, he's on his road. He's ready to destroy every believer he can get his hands on. And all at once, there's a light from heaven shines. And it knocks him to his to the ground. And there's a voice out of heaven that says, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And the story is, as he is under the direction and under the guidance of God the Spirit, and the voice of heaven speaking to his heart, he goes on in and listens and waits till a preacher can show up and tell him words whereby he could be saved.
Yeah.
Ananias is sitting over there in his house. And God just moves upon his heart and upon his spirit. You need to go and see this man. And he looked at him just like I would. This is a man of religion. This is a man of destruction. His religion has driven him crazy.
Yeah.
And you want me to go to him? Hey, when God calls you to preach and sends you into the field, you don't know what you're going to run into.
Right.
But there's one thing you can always be assured of. If God be for you, Who can be against you? Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Ananias goes to his house. He witnessed to him, lays hands on him, and for the first time in several days, Paul's eyes are opened up and he can see the guilt and the burden of sin is removed. He's filled with the Holy Spirit and he's about to start singing a brand new song. Hallelujah. And it would be something rather than old time religion.
Yeah.
It would be like this. Amazing grace.
Yeah.
How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I can see. Hallelujah.
Yeah, yeah.
The person that wrote these words, that was sent to the church, the Gentile church of Galatia, is written by a man that left the Jewish way of living and was converted and brought to the saving grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ to become a witness to the Gentile age like you and I.
That's right.
When you talk about dying to live, you got to understand what happened. Paul died after his old way so that he can live the new way with Jesus Christ. Now, oh my goodness, he can say, I'm crucified with Christ. How could he say that? Because the law would condemn anybody that tried to follow it. There was nobody could live up to the standard of God's holy law. Let me share this with you, man, just passing right quick without taking a lot of time. Back in the law, the only way people could approach God about His law was to bring a sacrifice.
Right.
A blood sacrifice. It had to be a lamb. It had to be a pigeon, two turtles, whatever they could afford to have. God would accept it and the blood would cover their sin that they could be perfected in the eyes of God for a period of time because the blood was applied. Now, taking the law, reading it for what it said. The law was designed for one thing, to kill, because nobody could keep it. The law was also designed as a schoolmaster to bring us to the blessed life. When John the Baptist stood in the Jordan River and saw Jesus coming down the bank, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God. Take a look at Him. That'll take away the sins of the world." Paul met Jesus Christ. And he was so carried away with what Jesus done in his life. He would never go back to the way of the law again. And boy, I tell you, it become a problem in a lot of places. In fact, if you think about this now, I want you to understand, it wasn't just the fact that God was changing Paul as a person, but He was presenting Paul as a man of passion.
Right.
To the point that he would promote Jesus Christ for the first time.
Yeah.
Oh my, I love that. Oh, I like that. In fact, if you go to the Corinthian church right quick, I'll read some verses to you that'll point this out a little clearer. In fact, Paul said in the Corinthian letter, chapter 15, beginning in verse 1, notice what he says. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which you have also received and wherein you stand. That is now by which also you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received." Well, I'm glad it's more than just a preaching message, but it's an experience, hallelujah, that you share within your own life as you present the message. You can feel the Spirit of God moving and dwelling in your heart and life and reaching out and touching others. Oh, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scripture. Paul said, "Now listen, I didn't really grasp the Scriptures until after I met the author of them. But once I met the author of the love story, I fell in love with Him to the point that I want to give you what He gave me." How can anybody sit still on the Lord knowing that you have now been crucified with Christ as He died for you? You were crucified with Him. You identified with His death. You identified with His burial. But aren't you glad it didn't stop there? My goodness, Paul said, "There is a risen Savior." In the same passage of Scripture in Corinthians, he goes on to say, in verse number 31, I protest by your rejoicing that I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily. But oh boy, when you get back over here in the middle of that chapter though, and really start looking at what happened, he said there in verse number 12, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you there's no resurrection of the dead?
Yeah.
Listen to this, but if there be no resurrection, then Christ is not risen. If Christ is not risen, then our preaching is vain. Your faith is in vain. Yea, we're found false witnesses. For if the dead rise not in 16, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain and you're still in your sins. Oh, but aren't you glad in the very next passage in 19, in this life only, if we had hope, we'd be all men most miserable. But now, hallelujah, Christ is risen and become the first fruits of them that slept. Listen to me, folks. In order to live, you have to be willing to die. And when you're dying to live, God will grant you the grace that you need to serve the risen Savior. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. You just went through Easter celebration, celebrating the resurrection of the Christ that we're talking about. He got up from the dead. And listen, you can have all the eggs and the bunnies you want, but I'm telling you, it's not about that. It's about a risen Savior. Yes. From the dead, the third of the morning. Paul said, I serve a risen Savior. My goodness. Now is he risen from the dead. He's become the first fruits. Who? Jesus Christ. That Lamb that was born of the Virgin Mary, that lived a perfect life, that was crucified, that died and was buried. But he rose again the third day.
Amen.
And he's alive forevermore. I'm talking about dying to live. And three aspects of it. The person that wrote it. The person that he preached about. Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad he died for you?
Amen.
Aren't you glad he atoned for your sins? I look at John 3:16, and it's such a powerful verse.
Yeah.
For God so loved John Meade. You can put the world if you want to, but I put my name there.
Yeah.
God so loved John that he gave his only begotten Son.
Amen.
That if John would believe on him,
yeah,
John wouldn't have to pray, but
yeah,
that John could have everlasting life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn John, because he had condemned already.
Right.
But that John, through the grace and the almighty power of the resurrected Savior, could live forever. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm talking about the person of Christ. Such a passion that Paul had, that he had to preach Christ. He, everything that he gained before, all the education, he had lots of it. Very intelligent, smart man. But he was so full of religion, he was no good to God in his service. But boy, when that light shined in his heart and that conversion took place, Paul would never be the same again. I'm talking about dying to live.
Amen.
Dying to live.
That's good.
Hang on now, we're going somewhere with this. I thought about it. Now I tell you, it's a brand new sermon. I've never preached this one like this. This is a good one. It ain't me, it's God giving it to me. The person that wrote it. The one, or the power of the one that made it all happen, Jesus Christ. What is the big deal? Well, it took care of Paul. It brought him to a place of fellowship with heaven. Number two, it helped him to win people to Christ. Did you know from the time that Paul was saved and converted, brought into the church and laid into the ministry, that God had one thing in mind for his life? To shine light so that we could see the glory of God.
Amen. That's right.
What are you talking about? I'm glad you asked. You see, up until this point, he's followed the Jewish way. It was Jew all the way to the core. In fact, they got in a big argument here in that same passage, if you read about it. Had frustration. In Acts, I believe it was in chapter 10 or 11, they were at Antioch.
Yeah.
And there was contention come up between the Jews and the Gentiles that had been won to the Lord. There in Antioch, Peter kind of got weak in his effort. He had preached Christ to these Gentiles and had gotten saved. Then when the Jews show up, some of them from James' group, the Jews, comes down into Antioch with them. And they're trying to take them back to the royal law.
Right.
They're trying to get them to go back to the circumcision. Did you read yourself?
Right.
And Paul said, when I seen Peter sidestep those Gentiles and kind of seem embarrassed about it, and going back to the Jewish way, He said, I withstood him to his face.
Right.
And told him, you're wrong. But he done it in a way that he won Peter instead of running him away.
Right.
You see, you can be so right.
That
you can become so rude.
That's right.
That you can absolutely become ridiculous.
That's right.
In your way.
Amen.
You can be 100% right. But you can be so rude that nobody can get anything out of it.
Amen.
Paul handled this like a man of God. He comes right into the section of that. And he addressed them all. And those that were prominent figures, maybe a little more elevated from James. Those Jews that come down to Antioch. Instead of causing them a problem. Paul approached them in such a way that they'd have a hard time getting mad at him because the Bible said he pulled them off secret and talked to them and explained to them the right way. Hey, it's good to have the right way. It's good to have the right stand. But it's also good in approaching people in the right manner.
Amen.
That's what Paul did in this essay. And as a result of it, what happened? The Jews changed their mind. And they decided, Paul, you are going to be the witness to the Gentiles. You and Barnabas. Barnabas was even swayed in this to go the wrong way. But when Paul got finished, Barnabas was right beside him. Simon Peter understood him better. Later on, you'll find that Peter said, Paul said things to me that was hard to understand. Because he didn't understand what happened to Paul in the revelation of Jesus Christ. You see, when Jesus gave him the gospel, Christ Jesus gave it to him, not the disciples. He received it by divine revelation from heaven. And buddy, I'll tell you what, when you get it from the very table of heaven, you don't have to add nothing to it, and you don't have to take nothing from it, and you don't need nobody to explain it, because you're the one that just had the meal. Praise God, aren't you glad that you know when it's Him?
Amen.
And you've got something worth telling. Okay, let's move along. The person that was exalted, Jesus Christ. For one simple reason. And you need to understand this, folks. That's what this whole message is about. It's about the people that will receive it.
Yeah.
It's about the people that will receive it. Now, these points that I'm giving you, I got them just a little before I got here. I didn't know I was going to use any of those statements. But I'm telling you, you got to talk about the person of Paul and his personality, and then the person of Christ that he had such passion for. But you got to understand the powerful message that would reach all people of all ages, of all the land. Red and yellow, black and white, they're all precious set aside. Jesus loves all the children of the world. It doesn't matter if you're 6 years old or if you're 100 years old. I've seen them say from 5 or 6 years of age all the way. I won one of the Lord that was 92 years old and baptized him before he went to heaven. Hey, it doesn't matter what your age is. Hey, it doesn't matter how wealthy or how poor you are. It doesn't matter how good looking you are or how ugly you are.
Amen.
It doesn't matter how well known you are or how little known you are.
Amen.
God so loved the world. And He gave Paul the message of salvation to take to all people.
Amen.
Wherever they would be. And in conclusion, going into this passage with the people, Paul said, I made all things to all people that I might win some to Christ. It doesn't matter what their religious belief was with him. Because religion didn't have a smidget of effect on Paul from that day forward.
Right.
Let me tell you something else. The law did different.
Yeah.
The law could accuse Paul of his past by murder, by beating him, and destroying church. But you know what he could say back to the law? Just have at it. Do whatever you want to say. Say whatever you want to do. But when you're finished up, remember this. I'm crucified with Christ.
Yeah.
That's all under the blood.
That's right.
I'm crucified with Christ. Yes, I was guilty. Yes, I was under the penalty. And yes, the penalty was paid. And because the penalty was paid, my sins are gone. Christ don't throw them in my face anymore. And the only time I can hear of anything from my background, it's you, Satan. It's you and your religious order that's trying to direct and demand and bring me back under subjection. But the good news is, I have victory.
Yeah.
I have victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that you've got a testimony of Jesus in your heart and life? Paul said, I'm crucified with Him Nevertheless, I live. Yes, I died to the flesh. I died to the law. But my goodness, when I did, there was a brand new life come in. Look up here. I don't know who you are, where you're from, when it happened, but one day you bowed an altar of prayer and you called upon the name of Jesus, and everything in your past from that day back was put under the blood of Christ, cast into the sea of forgiveness, never to remember it against you again. And from that day until now, you've been dead to that lie. You're not interested in that lie. You don't want to go back to that lie. And every time that lie shows up, you ask Jesus to help you that you don't remember. Why? Because now I'm alive. Well, what made you alive, big boy? I'll tell you exactly who made me alive. The risen Savior. Oh, the risen Christ, the Son of Almighty God, that said in 3 days, I'll rear this temple again. Let me tell you something. Religion thinks he's talking about a building. But the believer knows he's talking about a body. Oh, now that Christ is risen, we've become first fruits of that resurrection. In fact, the Bible said when Christ was raised from the dead, many of the saints were seen getting up out of the grave and going into the holy city. Why? Amen. Because Christ had paved a brand new road all the way into heaven. Amen. That's good stuff, man. That's good stuff. And you know what? Whether you understand it or not, it's still good. And whether you ever understand it or not, it'll still keep you. He'll take care of you. He'll take you safely home. Hey, listen to me, folks. I'm talking about to the end of the journey now. He said, not only am I crucified, but I live. And not me that live, but now Christ lives in me. Amen. And the life that I live now in my flesh, and the life you live now, how many of you are saved?
Amen.
Only saved us.
Amen.
Every one of you that are saved, the life that you live now, you live in your flesh. You can't get out of your flesh. All you're right. Still living here. But the life that you're living in that fleshly body right now, you live now by faith.
Amen.
By faith.
Yes.
By faith in the one that loved me and died for me. Listen to me, folks. He paid the price in full when he hung on the cross and said, it is finished. Hallelujah. Yes.
Right.
Your sins were paid in full. Amen. I don't care how bad they were. They're paid for.
That's right.
In the life you live now, you live by one example. And Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are you saved through faith.
Amen.
It's not of yourself. It's the gift of God.
Amen.
Not of works. Lest any man should boast.
Yeah. Right.
Listen, if you can help in any part of this.
That's right.
Any part.
Yeah.
If you can help at all, Jesus died in vain.
That's right. Right. Amen.
Hey, look up here. He don't need your help.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. I've drawn a conclusion in my Christian journey.
Yeah.
If I go to heaven, it'll be in spite of me.
That's right.
And I'm looking at a crowd here that's in the same boat, whether you know it or not.
Amen.
Do you really think you can earn anything that heaven has to offer you?
Right.
Let me give you something to think about. As I said, our own righteousness is a filthy rag.
Yeah.
The best you can live, the best we can do. God says it's like them old rags that they use to wipe the pus and the scabs. From leprosy patients.
Right.
Yeah. Imagine what that rag looked like.
Yeah.
God said, the best you can do for me, that's what it looks like in my hands.
Yeah.
But ain't you glad? I'm crucified with Christ.
Yeah.
I'm dying so I can live.
Yeah.
I've died
so
I can live. Now there's one more verse I'm going to give to you. Paul gave it there in Corinthians 15. I die daily.
That's right.
Yes.
You don't ever quit dying.
Yes.
You don't never quit. How will I die, preacher, every day? Every time Satan brings something else up to you, you die with it. It's not. God's got that.
Yeah.
I'm going to heaven.
Amen.
I'm living with Christ. I'm walking with Christ. I'm going to heaven to be with Christ. And Satan, all of hell can't stop me.
That's right.
No greater is he that's in me. All the glory that he that's in the world. Aren't you glad you have something on the inside that's bigger? God is greater. And because he's greater, you can live victorious. And because you can live victorious, you can sing the song, Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Praise God. Dying to live. Dying to live. When I got into that passage of Scripture in Galatians and began to read that, it really spoke to my heart. And then I got down to the last part of that. I do not frustrate the grace of God. What does that mean? You can actually hurt the grace of God in your life. You can hinder it from work. What is the grace of God? I've heard it described many ways. God's riches of Christ. We've heard that. But let me tell you what I like to think about it. And that is true. Don't get me wrong. I'd never downplay that a bit. It is God's riches at Christ's expense. And I'm going to tell you something about grace that you need to understand that even touches you even better down inside. It's God's kindness. When you don't even deserve it.
Yeah.
Mercy stops His punishment when you know you're guilty. But grace brings kindness and you know you don't deserve it.
Amen.
What is that, preacher? That's when the blessing of God comes to you.
Yes.
The favor of heaven. The songs that we heard in the piano on the whatever that machine called over. I call it the old side of heaven. The songs that the little children sing. That's the kindness of God.
That's
the kindness. That's the sweetness of God. Music will settle you. It will soothe the hurt and pain. Especially if you know the song you're playing. He didn't have to sing those songs. I heard them. Victory in Jesus, my Savior.
Yeah.
You can play those songs and I can sing right along with you.
Right.
That garden song that the pianist plays in the Southwest, End of the Garden.
Yeah.
You can play that and I just sit there and rejoice in it.
Yeah.
Kindness, grace, beyond measure. Moves in your spirit and overwhelms your soul and lets you know it's well. Everything is well. When you look out there, ain't no hope. You look in here and you're full of hope.
Yeah.
Hope that makes us not ashamed. Makes us not ashamed.
Yeah.
You know why? Because I'm dying to live.
Yes.
And because I live, I look at that passage there at the end. I don't want to frustrate that grace.
That's right.
That grace is perfect.
That's right.
That grace is complete. In fact, if you have grace in your life, you've got all you need. I'm going to show you why I'm saying that. I quoted Ephesians 2 and 8. I'm going to go down to verse 3 of that same chapter. Here's what it says. Now we become His workmanship.
You have
created in Christ Jesus.
That's right.
Unto good works.
That's right.
Now listen to this. We are His workmanship.
Yes.
You know what that means? That means He's the boss.
Yeah.
You're working for Him.
Amen.
As He directs your path. Now, it's not a job. You remember I started out in the very beginning. My pastor for 44 years, I never did call it a job.
Yeah.
It was a ministry. If it's a job, you can quit it.
Right.
If it's a ministry, you can't live it.
That's right. Right. Amen. That's good.
Because God says it's good.
Amen.
I become His workmanship when I was 22 in the ministry. He called me to preach. Had no idea I'd be in Victory Church today. Didn't even know it existed. When He called me to preach. But I knew He called me.
Yeah.
He started to work in my life. And it's changed all these years. If I make it till next January or February, it'll be 50 years that God put me in this work.
Praise the Lord.
The work. We are His workmanship.
Yeah.
I am His workmanship. I couldn't take a pattern back if I wanted to. Because it ain't my workmanship. It's His.
Yes.
You don't know anything me and Carol have done in any of that. Look up here. I'm going to show you how simple it is. Almost 50 years later in ministry, you know how simple it was? The only thing me and her did, in any of it, we said, Lord, we'll follow You.
Yeah. Yes.
It never happened in my work.
Yeah.
And it never happened in her. But it's always been His work in us and through us to all of us.
Yeah.
And that's what God's doing right now at this church. He is now God's workmanship.
That
Victory for the Baptist Church.
Yeah.
And all of you are part of that work because God placed you in.
Yes.
You know what we need now? We just need more laborers to fill.
Yeah.
We need to win all we can. Because of this hope, we want to share it. And as you share it, folks will get saved. As they come in and take their place in the seat, and they sit beside you and they worship with you, they'll connect with you, and next thing you know, they're working with you. And the celebration keeps going, and victory is still complete. Because Christ is the one doing it all. But anyway, Paul said, that's why I don't frustrate the grace of God. Law can't do this. That's what he was saying. No man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It's evident. For the just shall live by faith. I preached a message last Sunday at a resurrection service of all the crazy thoughts. This is what God put on my heart for Southwest. Talk about dying to live. Down there I preached on, are you seeing to believe? Or are you believing so you can see? Nobody in this building seen Christ. But the faith can't. The faith, you can go all the way to the foot of the cross. By faith, you can look up to the middle star of heaven. By faith, you can call out on his name. By faith, you can say it in your heart. By faith, you can be saved by the grace of God. By faith, you can go to the water hole and be baptized. By faith, you can join into the church. By faith, you can give to the church and you can support the church, work in the church, and live for the church. By faith! Plus nothing.
Yeah.
That's what it's done.
That's right.
Lord, by grace are you saved through faith. And then you become his workmanship that was created in Christ Jesus that automatically produces good works. I'm going to say this in closing. There is no other work worth looking at.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right. Amen. That's right. Amen.
I've heard people fall over about what they've done in the church. They're losing the rewards when they do that and don't understand it. Folks, whatever you do, just keep that between you and the Lord.
Yeah.
And if anybody wants to brag on you, let them brag on you. Because whether they do or not, guess who's bragging on you anyway?
Amen.
The one that saved you.
Amen.
The one that called you. The one that placed you. And the one that's coming to get you. In fact, he knows you so well, when he comes in the clouds of glory, he's going to call you.
Amen.
And you're going to lose gratification.
Right.
And you're going out of this world. The Lord himself will descend from heaven, according to Thessalonians 4. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the ark, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will get up first. Hey, folks, it's going to happen.
Amen.
They're worrying about the eclipse tomorrow. My gosh, I wish that's the only problem I had to worry about. What has the eclipse got to do with anybody? Listen, that eclipse is just a hindrance to us on our planet.
Right.
If you look that in the way.
Yeah, man.
If it shuts the sun ball from winning out, then I never see that sun ball again. I'm still going to heaven.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Praise God. It's real.
Amen.
It's real. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ now liveth in me. And the life that I live by faith in the Son of God that loved me and gave himself for me.
Yes.
The least I can do now is give myself back to him.
Yes.
Because I don't belong in this thing of my own effort. I belong because he let me join by bringing me in. Birthed into the family and placed by the hand of God. And I'm on the way to heaven. Are you ready to go? Are you dying so you can live? Folks, that world out there, don't let them influence you. They don't know what they're doing. I'm telling you, they're lost.
That's right. That's
they
right.
Don't know what they're doing. Stay in the book.
Yeah.
Read. Pray.
Amen.
Go to church.
Yes.
Listen to your pastor.
Yes.
Listen to your teacher. Follow their guidance and get a hold of the word. Let it soak in your heart. Keep that song singing inside of you. And go on to the tune of victory in Jesus, our Savior, forever. Father, we love you and we thank you for what we've been a part of today. I pray it was encouragement to everyone here. And Lord, that you'll help us to realize if we try to live this on our own, we're just wasting our time. But if we put all of our faith in the one that died for us, the one that got up from the dead, and the one that went to heaven to prepare a place for us and is coming to get us by the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we can live and live in victory. And I pray if there's one here that's not had that experience of coming to Calvary, that they'll come to you just now. In Christ's name we pray. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I want to ask you, as they play a little something on the piano, I never like to see a service close without giving people opportunity to pray. There's no use preaching to you if we're not going to let you pray.
Amen.
If you need to pray.
Amen.
So, having said that, every head bowed and every eye closed, right now would be your opportunity. If you feel like you need to come and talk it over with the Lord. Maybe you're not dying in the sin of the world like you need to be. Or maybe you've never died to it by giving your life to Christ. This is your opportunity to come. Renew your life with Him. Or come and begin a new life with Him. It's up to you. As we play, is there one anywhere in the building who wants to get up out of their seats and come and pray? The altar is open. Anybody, while we wait. Anybody. Anybody. Is there anyone here that'll slip up a hand and say, "Preacher, I'm not right. I'm not saved. I don't know what you're talking about. Let Christ live in me." Would you raise that hand? Maybe you're here and you're just struggling in your journey with Him. And you feel like you need prayer. Would you raise that hand? "I'm crucified with Him, preacher. I want to live with Him." How about it? Anywhere in the building? Oh, Lord, help us today. Search your hearts right now. See if you're crucified with Christ and allow Him to live in you. Because if He is, I can promise you, He'll produce a good work going forward. In Christ's name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.